In the distance, I see a shining light. In the sky, I met the Maker. If we survive this lovely life, what will begin to make it end? When we survive this lovely life.
Welcome to the IDP Show. I'm your host, Josh Raymer, joined in the Soul Shack tonight. On my left, Bobby Reynolds. Bobbo, how are you, man?
Hello, Joshua. Welcome.
Taking us back to our XFFL days. A little duo pod action tonight.
Let's just hope we record this one.
Oh, my gosh, yes. For those who don't know, Bobby and I used to do a podcast for our main league. You've heard us talk about it a bunch on this show, the XFFL. I think the podcast feed is still live. You can go track it down and listen to the old episodes. It was sort of the genesis of the Big Three IDP podcast. We famously did an episode in my kitchen that did not record. I think we did it three times.
I remember it at least twice.
It might have been three.
It was pretty devastating.
It was crushing. Yeah. Because it was a long, we don't do short episodes.
Oh, even back then it was still an easy hour.
Yeah. I was going to say minimum 45 minutes, maybe pushing an hour, hour and 15.
Those are some good pods though, man. Good
pods. It was
fun.
We were working out the kinks. Yep. It was me and then you came along and then Adam jumped in. We did like, I think six or seven episodes of that show. And that's when we were like, should we maybe do an actual podcast? Yeah, so
thank God we decided that.
Yeah, here we are, what, 3.5 years later?
Gosh, time's getting away.
2019, man.
Wow.
It's been a long time.
Wow. Been playing IDP for a while now, too.
Yeah, 2016 when we started that journey. So
approaching 10 years here.
Well, I was looking at our back of the VIP is our home league. The thing is 16 years old.
Well, see, I tried looking at that the other day, too, and because we switched providers here this year, I couldn't look back at ESPN to see. So I
changed the league name every year to honor the iteration, and this year was, let me make sure I got it right, but I think it was Back of the VIP 16. Back of the VIP 16. So 2006, I guess, would have been when we started that league.
Approaching half of our life.
Sheesh, that's pretty crazy.
It is, man. Time's flying.
Yeah, so we're back with you all. What a week, Bobbo. It has been. We had the COVID year a couple years ago, and that thing was crazy, obviously. But what happened on Monday night with the Bills-Bengals game, the DeMar Hamlin situation, really kicked off just one of the strangest, most traumatic, most anxiety-inducing, just kind of one of the weirdest weeks in my life that I can remember, especially in relation to my football fandom.
Yeah, I still haven't to this time seen anything on the field that happened.
Were you not watching the game?
Putting the kids in the bathtub, and then all the messages started streaming in at that point. But I still haven't seen. I get the gist of kind of what went on. I don't do too well with those type of situations, so I'm probably not going to go back and watch it. But
it's just so routine, man.
It's really sobering. It's a really really raw emotion that it kind of brings up in you about sports and about players and about athletes and about what they do, you know, on and off the field and the court and, you know, baseball fields and NASCAR arenas. And athletes definitely put a lot more out there than people really know. And not only DeMar, but then you get the raw emotions that come from T. Higgins and
absolutely
other teammates on the Bills, and then the coaches. How are they going to handle the situation? You know, thank God there was a really well-trained, I don't even know what you'd call him, a paramedic, some type of first responder there.
Well, it was the assistant athletic trainer for the Bills who performed CPR on Hamlin and saved Hamlin's life.
You know, and I talked to a buddy this week, what do you think's going through his head as he's performing CPR on DeMar? You know, like when you're in the moment sometimes, do you ever think like, oh gosh, this is real, you know?
My hope is that in that moment, and his name was Denny Kellington.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of love for him on Twitter lately.
Denny deserves all the love. I hope in that moment his training took over and it was like tunnel vision.
Yeah.
Just, you know, the I think there's actually a song that you do for CPR, Staying Alive. Yeah, that's the rhythm that you do the CPR to. Yeah. So I pray he was just in that moment, just solely focused on nothing but the CPR. All his training was coming back to him. Because I had read that as well, that it can be very traumatic for people who perform life-saving CPR on people. So we hope Denny is doing well.
Yeah.
We hope T. Higgins is doing well. Oh. I saw a tweet from T. Higgins that said, now that I know DeMar is doing okay, I feel better, so that's great.
Yeah.
And then obviously amazing, amazing updates coming out today about DeMar Hamlin. He is awake. He is responsive. He is squeezing those around the bedside. He's squeezing their hands. He is communicating via writing. He asked who won the game.
And that's huge. The cognitive ability, man. And asking about that like so quickly in is that's really, really encouraging, because that's what it – you know, there's still a lot that can happen, and he's got a long road ahead.
It's a long road to recovery, absolutely.
But I do feel like this would have been an even harder weekend to play if there hadn't been any encouraging, you know, signs out of DeMar this
week.
And it's still going to be difficult. You're going to see a lot of number threes around. You're going to see a lot of people showing support, just like you have for his toy drive. You know, now we've got a $6-7 million toy drive.
$7.5 million.
GoFundMe. And
I love it.
You know, that's awesome. But it shows you a lot. At least for me, I mean, I'm getting a little bit older in years, and we just got done talking about playing fantasy football for, you know, 16, you know, pushing 20 years now. And it just goes to show you that in the grand scheme of things, as commissioners and as league mates around ESPN, Yahoo, RSO, Sleeper, around lots of leagues found out this weekend, fantasy football, it's not really that big of a deal. We love podding. We love talking IDPs. But, man, there are much greater implications to this life that we live than talking about fantasy football and worrying about
it. You want to figure out a fair solution, because in tragic situations like this, the temptation is, well, nothing else matters besides. Yeah. That's not true. Mm-hmm. It helps us reassess and reprioritize what matters greatly, like what matters a lot more than some other things. But I don't like the kind of perception that, well, nothing else matters. Fantasy football, it's still worth your attention. It's still worth figuring out the right way, the most fair way, the best way to handle things. But it should not be something that, as we've struggled and grappled with the emotions of watching a man almost die on a football field, this should not be something that, in a week that has been very encouraging and showing people coming together and unifying behind DeMar Hamlin, figuring out fantasy football championships and payouts should not be something that divides us during a week when we have seen such beautiful unity from people.
Absolutely, man. And you know, the whole thing about fantasy football doesn't matter. It does matter, because it brought a lot of great people into my life, you know. And honestly, somebody that came in my mind this week that I thought about was actually Sigmund Bloom, and a lot of the beautiful things that he's actually said on our podcast here over the last year about just like the good in humanity, and about how, you know, how fun it is to do pods with people. And it's great to talk about, you know, it's great to talk about fantasy football and this game that we all love, but it's also great to enjoy time with friends and enjoy time with family and enjoy, you know, enjoy this game that we really, really love. But, you know, thankfully, DeMar is showing some really encouraging signs.
Remarkable improvement.
Most of the fantasy football leagues that I'm in have found some sort of way to kind of figure out how to move on with some type of a championship or future championship, or whether it's being conceded or whatever the situation has been. I haven't heard of a whole lot of situations out there where people are, giving the commissioner a rough time or giving other league mates a rough
leaving
time.
Leaving the leagues, pitching a fit. It's not the week for it,
no
folks.
Need for that, man. No need for that.
So we're incredibly encouraged. Obviously, continue to pray for DeMar Hamlin, his friends, his family, his teammates, the doctors.
How many teams you think are checking on their equipment and their staff this week? And just
all of them.
You know, I guarantee you they did some dry runs across the NFL this week.
I saw a great, I think it was from maybe the head of the NFL Players Association, perhaps, that said the only game plan that mattered on Monday night was the emergency plan. And it was executed to perfection.
It was, man. It was
so cool.
Within seconds, man, the guy knew what he was doing. You know, Denny did a great job. You know, I'm not medical. I don't know what's happening. But honestly, if you're going to be anywhere and if you're going to be in a situation like that, you got medical attention immediately.
Yep.
You know, and that's a I don't know what caused this, and I'm not sure that we'll ever know. I mean, hopefully science will be able to kind of give us a little foresight on why Hamlin's body performed in this way. But man, the fact that you had somebody performing CPR on you that quickly is that's kind of a blessing in disguise, you know. It could have been somewhere, nobody's around, and you're kind of by yourself. And there's a lot of stories like that.
You have 30 medical professionals at every NFL game, plus an ambulance, plus a great trauma hospital right down the road.
Yeah.
So, and a 24-year-old athlete in the prime of his athletic life, in peak physical condition, like
a story that could have had a whole lot of negativity come out of it. There is a lot of positives and a lot of beautiful things that have come from it. So, you know, wish the best for DeMar. Hopefully, he continues a steady recovery as well.
Yes, absolutely. Best wishes for DeMar, and we will continue to monitor that situation and pray for continued recovery. And for all the Bills and Bengals players who have to get back to work this weekend, I can't imagine having to do that, but it sounds like games are going to proceed as usual. I think getting that update from DeMar's family was a big boost for all those guys. So sounds like we're still trying to figure out, Bobbo, what the seeding is going to look like in the AFC. NFL's announced that Bills Bengals will not be resumed, which I think is the right call. Seemed like they had two choices: screw up the schedule by resuming this game, and then resuming this game, which is also its own can of worms. Or don't resume the game and figure out the seeding. It seemed like I agree with the NFL in this situation. Don't resume the game. Figure out an amicable solution for the seeding and let's move forward.
Yeah, because you can only really push things back so far, you know, and there's not really a good window. I thought there for a minute, I was like, you know, there is that Pro Bowl week that we could kind of eat. And since there's not really a Pro Bowl game, you could push things back. Okay, if you lose a little bit of viewers from your skills competition because there's actually a game on that weekend, it is what it is. But every way that I've kind of looked at it, and smarter heads on Twitter have, you know, provided way better options than I have, but I haven't been able to come up with any type of slide the rest of this game in here.
I think that's what they saw too.
Yeah.
I think they saw no matter which way we slice this, it's going to suck for moving these games around. So let's just figure out the seating.
And just like we talked about, it was Bills Bengals, not Broncos Raiders.
Exactly. It had huge playoff implications.
The end of fantasy football seasons. Huge
number one seed on the line.
Number one seed on the line. The Chiefs are watching because they want to know who's going to win
the
game.
It's the biggest game of the year.
Oh, it really
was. Biggest game of the year. So a lot of stuff still to sort through. Sounds like we'll get some kind of resolution tomorrow on how that is going to pan out. But speaking of the playoffs, make sure you're subscribed. Over at theidpshow.com, we have our annual playoff IDP rankings coming out next week. Addy is going to start working on those here soon. Addy is at the Western Kentucky basketball game tonight. I think they were getting beat 26-9 last we checked. So not great, Bob.
Yep.
So we will have those going out probably, I would say, early in the week. Monday or Tuesday we'll send those out. So make sure you're subscribed over at theidpshow.com.
Wow, so the NFL just announced Bills Bengals contest will not resume.
That's right.
So it's pretty much official now. I'm just not seeing that.
Yep, that is officially not going to happen. And we will have those playoff rankings. We'll have some information in there as well. If you would like to set up a playoff fantasy football league, we have a Google Drive spreadsheet template that we use for drafting. We'll send out a link to that you can use and copy for your own template. And Fantrax, we've mentioned this on a couple other podcasts.
Yeah.
Fantrax is the only site platform that we found that does playoff fantasy with IDPs.
It's so fun.
It's honestly my favorite form of fantasy football.
Because it's kind of like fantasy football and it's kind of like best ball.
Yes.
It's a little bit of a mix.
Mix and a survivor pool.
And it's kind of like betting to some extent.
You got to pick the winners.
Exactly.
I won it for the first time last year because I picked the Rams.
Okay.
And they carried me through all the way to the Super Bowl. If you pick one of the Super Bowl teams, you're probably going to win.
Because you're getting three games out of them.
Yeah.
You get Super Bowl, conference championship, and then
you could possibly get four if it's a wild card
team.
That's true. Wild card, divisional round, yeah. championship game, Super Bowl.
How often does a wild card win the Super Bowl, though?
I don't know.
It's somewhat rare.
I think the Bucks, were the Bucks a wild card, or were they a division winner?
I don't know.
But division winners play on wild card weekend, too.
That's true, especially now with only one bye for the for the number one seed.
That's right.
Yeah, shout out Patriots. Y'all will not be winning anybody any playoff IDP contest this year.
I hope they don't make it in. I'm rooting for the Dolphins to make it in.
Oh, can the Patriots still get in?
Patriots, Dolphins, Steelers are all in play for that seven seed.
Wow.
Steelers are somehow still in it.
What about, I was talking to a buddy today too, what about how good the AFC quarterbacks are versus the NFC quarterbacks?
Yeah.
Pat Mahomes, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, NFC, we've got Brock Purdy, we've got Geno Smith, Dak Prescott, he's pretty good.
Jared Goff, potentially.
Jared Goff. It's a weird,
weird
situation.
We typically take, this is a six team playoff or a playoff fantasy league we do on Fantrax. Mm-hmm. And so two of the QBs won't get picked.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of wondering though, you say, well, Brock Purdy.
Yeah.
But the Niners might make the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like you got to pick the quarterback on the worst team. And is that like a Kirk Cousins? Like,
gosh.
You know, like who gets left off of the teams that are going to be in the playoffs?
Yeah.
Maybe Kirk Cousins and like the Mac Jones if the Pats make it.
I honestly would have to do some prep before a playoff IDP draft.
If you don't prep,
right now,
you will get dusted.
I would struggle right now. I'm going to really have to look at who's playing and who I project to.
Well, Bobo, you can look at Adam's rankings. He's going to have those coming out next week. The IDPshow.com.
Who's your Super Bowl? Who you think?
I had it before the season, Ravens, Eagles. So
you still believe?
I'm not budging off of that.
I
don't think it'll be the Ravens unless Lamar comes back healthy, and I don't think he'll be that healthy.
He's
so
been out for a while.
He's been out for a month. Hasn't played or practiced in 1 month.
Or practiced.
A big deal. That's a big deal.
Yeah, the Ravens don't seem very healthy right now either.
But who knows?
Yeah.
Playoffs are weird. Yeah. I think the Eagles are still looking good if they can get Hurts back and healthy. Mm-hmm. But the Niners look good. Bengals, Bills, Chiefs. I mean, just flip a coin there.
I think it's going to be hard because it's like which team comes out of the NFC and which team comes out of the AFC. Obviously, that's how a Super Bowl is made. But I don't know, man. It's tough. The AFC is so strong and the NFC just has such weirdness because it honestly could be Brock Purdy.
I think it's Niners, Cowboys, Eagles, Bills, Chiefs, Bengals. Those would be the six teams that I would say.
I could see that.
If I had to put money down, like you create a pool of six teams, and you win money if the two champ or the two title game participants come out of that pool, that would be the six that I would put together.
Man, yeah.
Packers could get in. Lions could get in. Seahawks could get in.
It all really depends NFC-wise on Jalen Hurts' health.
Yep.
What does he look like? Because if not, I don't trust Gardner Minshew.
No,
you know,
I think he'll be back.
He's an okay backup, but he's not a playoff guy.
You rest Hurts this week, right?
Yeah, you definitely rest Hurts. Man, and if the Cowboys don't make a good run this year, what are we doing? Because
I think
we're
going to get Sean Payton is
doing. Yeah. Absolutely.
Get McCarthy out of there.
With such a weak NFC, though, I can see a weird world where Brock Purdy's just like, you know what? Let's do this thing.
Well, they said that
Debo might be coming back.
Jimmy G could be back for like the conference championship.
Elijah Mitchell, I think, was activated. Off of IR.
Yep.
Man, the stars are aligning for the 49ers.
Could be. That's a really good team. So, yeah, check it out. TheIDPShow.com. We'll have that going out. Scoring, setup, rankings for IDP. Sigmund Bloom does offensive rankings for playoff fantasy leagues. So make sure you're subscribed over at footballguys.com. For those offensive rankings. Bobo, we got a fun episode tonight. It's a new year, 2023. So as we look back on the season that was tonight, we are going to do one of our favorite episodes, 2022 IDP MVPs. And just like last year when we debuted this episode, we've got some clips lined up from some of our friends from around the IDP landscape to give us their selections for MVP. And then we will give ours at the end. It's going to be a fun episode.
It's one of my favorite episodes. One of my favorites. I know old Marcy did it with you last year because who knows where me and Adam were. But it's literally one of my favorite ones. It's all my favorite people in here talking about all my favorite players that I have on lots of rosters. It's a good freaking time.
It's just good to look back.
Yeah.
It's good to remember the IDPs who balled out for us this year. And probably won a lot of people a lot of titles.
Oh, absolutely, man. Going to talk about a lot of ADP, going to talk a lot about, a bunch of production from these guys on the field. It's great, man. And a lot of these things are things to learn from. You know, it's a lot of lessons that you're going to learn.
Yeah.
It's a lot of things that you can take into the offseason as far as trades are concerned, or where some of these guys' ADP might fall next year. We'll talk a little bit about Adams' ranks. Good freaking time, man.
Good time. Well, let's kick things off with the player who had the most votes. So if you want to declare, I guess, an overall winner from this episode, it would be the Las Vegas Raiders edge rusher Max Triple X Crosby. Babo, we have clips here from Joy the Tooth, Kyle Bellyfuel, John Macri talking about why Max Crosby was their IDP MVP for 2022. So we're going to hear from Joey, then Kyle, then John, and then we'll reconvene to talk through their arguments. But without further ado, take it away, Joey.
Hello, this is Joey the Tooth, IDP of footballguys.com. I'm here to join the IDP show and talk about my IDP MVP of the season. First off, I want to thank all the guys from the IDP show. First off, for allowing me to be part of the preview pods and everything with Trip and Kyle, and then 1 week with Bobby. It was a blast doing it with you guys, and I really appreciate the opportunity. But let's get to my MVP of the season. I went with Max Crosby of the Las Vegas Raiders. For starters, I mean, he's number one overall in Big Three scoring. He shattered his career high in tackles from last year, 55, all the way up to 81 this year. And he also set a career high in sacks from his previous career high was 10, this year 11.5. He is second amongst all defensive linemen in tackles to only Christian Wilkins, who has 86, so he's only has five more. He's 10th in the league in sacks, 10th in D linemen in sacks. He's tied for third in forced fumbles. The guy plays volume galore. I mean, he actually played the most defensive snaps of any defensive lineman with 961. So the reason he's my MVP, though, it's not only because of his scoring, but it's where you were able to draft him. So even though he led the league in pressures last year with 108, there's people that were just spreading this PFF grades and pressures do not translate into IDP production. And this obviously just proves that that's incorrect. Crosby was just shy numerous times in 2021 of making the big play. And this year they just translated to the actual scoring. He just made that extra step. Crosby, he's drafted later than most other of the top end defensive lines. I mean, I don't think he was top five drafted in any draft I've seen this year, which it probably allowed you to grab a higher level player in those extra rounds. I mean, for reference, the only startup I did that was offense and IDP this year, Nick Bosa was the DL1. He was drafted in round 8. Max Crosby was the DL6, drafted in the 13th. So think about the players you could have drafted in those five rounds in between Bosa and Crosby to bolster that roster and still get Crosby in the 13th. Because of that, he is my MVP. Thank you, guys.
What's up, Adam, Josh, and Bobby? It's Kyle B calling in with my IDP MVP for the 2022 season. After many hours of deliberation, I settled on my guy, Max Crosby, as my IDP MVP. Mad Max has been fantastic this season, and let's just take a quick look at the beautiful stats he's produced as we head into Week 17. On the year, Max has a crazy 96% snap share, which is just wild for a defensive end. He has 82 tackles, 53 solo, a league-leading 19 tackles for loss heading into Week 17, a career-high 11.5 sacks, and 33 quarterback hits. He's also top 5 in pressures with 71. He's truly been an X factor who has earned a few more X's in his name, if you ask me. His tackle production, splash plays, and just being available every week with that crazy snap share has been awesome this season. If you had him on your roster, he's been an X factor every single week. Lastly, I want to just say it's been awesome to watch what you fellas have built and continue to build with the pod and now the IDP show website. Keep crushing it, boys, and I know you will. Let's make 2023 the best year yet for this beautiful game that we love to play. That's all I got. Talk to you boys soon.
What's up, everybody? John Macra here. First, I'd like to thank all of the nominated IDP MVPs for the 2022 season. There were plenty of qualified candidates, of course, people who could be considered worthy to take home this prestigious award. But in my opinion, which my therapist tells me is the only one that matters, I'm going with the man, the myth, the monster, a man of many nicknames, all of which he lives up to. I'm talking, of course, about Mad Max, Super Max, always going to be a lock for double-digit sacks, putting offensive linemen on their ass, giving his opponents heart attacks. The one and only Max, move over, Sydney, because there's another superstar, Crosby. If you listened to me at all this offseason, which I totally understand if you did, but if you did, you know that Max Crosby was one of the top buy candidates for dynasty leagues, but he was also somebody that I had laid out multiple times that he should be taken highly in all draft formats. And I think I owe him some kind of favor of his choice because he truly helped me not look like even more of a jabroni by living up to the hype and finishing as the edge one in all IDP leagues. Here's how he did it. Hold on to your toques, boys and girls, because here are the numbers. 11 and a half sacks, 84 tackles, the most for his position. He even had two games with double-digit tackles, which is as many or more than some even every down linebackers. 20 tackles for loss. That's the most in the league. 34 QB hits, second most in the league. 4 passes defensed, 3 fumbles. In my opinion, there likely hasn't been a more reliable edge rusher week in and week out this season than Max Crosby. I could even argue that there wasn't a better value at his position in drafts, considering from as many leagues that I drafted in this offseason, he never went inside the top 5 at his position. And in all those leagues, once again, finished as the number one player at his position. Even after leading the league in pressures last season and being a clear positive regression candidate when it came to sacks, fantasy managers were clearly still a bit hesitant, or at least hesitant enough in drafts not to take him in the top 5 of his position. We knew leading the league in pressures again was going to be a tall task, but he was still dominant, and that's why we knew the sacks would average out. Where he finished this year in pressures with 76 is 4th in the league. An 82.3 pass rush grade, which is 12th among edge defenders. And the thing that will always allow for production, 96% of defensive snaps. That was his average this season. Unreal, unheard of for an edge defender. So maximum size shout out to Mr. Crosby for finishing as the overall edge one and doing so by being a dominant force on the field and not just one of those pigeon linebackers cleaning up the scraps and racking up tackles from their pylon position. Max is the ideal archetype that we want from all our IDP edge rushers, and that's why my 22 IDP MVP is Derwin James.
All right, so there you go, Bobbo. Joey, Kyle, and John laid out the case rather beautifully for Max Crosby as the IDP MVP. This was the guy I think I tried to make a choice that was a little bit just another player to talk about. Mm-hmm. But Max Crosby, I think if you polled 100 people, probably would be the leader in the clubhouse for MVP. Just a phenomenal season from Max Triple X Crosby. 11 and a half sacks, 3 forced fumbles, 1 fumble recovery, 83 tackles. And I believe 96% of defensive snaps?
He's a defensive end as well.
Defensive end, lest we forget, not a linebacker. He was everything that you possibly could have wanted coming into this season.
Absolutely. You know, that most impressive thing maybe for me outside of Max Crosby's snaps, I mean, his snaps were otherworldly. I mean, he had to have led, I would say, all defensive ends in snaps in 2022. But almost what is most impressive for me, his sacks are good. You know, he's got a lot of sacks on the season. He has 76 pressures on the season. He's going to finish the season with a 90.0 overall defensive grade.
Incredible.
An 81.2 run defense grade and a 82.3 pass rush grade. He also has a 79.7 coverage grade. Yeah. So the boy's fine. But his tackles this year, man, they brought the floor up so high for him. You know, a lot of these defensive ends, Josh Allen to me particularly, I'm trying to think of Trayvon Walker as well. I'm not just mentioning Jaguars. But, you know, a lot of these guys are just boom bust. If they don't have two tackles and a sack, then they really just didn't do a whole lot for you. But some of these games where maybe Max didn't have a sack, he had a Christian Wilkins type season of some healthy tackles to not put you a goose egg out there.
Two games, at least 10 tackles.
Oh boy,
that's crazy.
That's insane.
That is absolutely crazy.
Do you think that is a that's a tribute to his athleticism, or is that a tribute to the amount of snaps that he played?
I think a little bit of both. I mean, yeah. I think you see maybe tackles in this at this volume for a defensive end are a product of high PFF grades that show you are winning your matchups, you are affecting the play, plus you are on the field for 96% of snaps. I think maybe that's the formula of you're in the right spot where you're supposed to be, and you're on the field 96% of the time, you're going to rack up tackles.
Absolutely.
And the linebackers were garbage this year in Vegas with Divine Diablo going on the shelf, Jayon Brown. I mean, they were down to Luke Masterson at the end of the season.
Even Max Crosby didn't – I mean, he didn't have any help this year. Chandler Jones did nothing. In the interior, he didn't have anything. You know, what could have been maybe some help in Yannick Ngakoue or – Carl Nassib actually played pretty decent some this year. Max Crosby was pretty much there by himself. Clelin Ferrell clearly has not worked out. It would be interesting to know from old Marcy how many double teams Max Crosby actually saw this year.
The double team rate, yeah.
Yeah, in XFFL, our main league, Max Crosby was the DN1. He scored 291 points. You know, and let's even peek into Adam's ranks just a little bit. So, not to peek too much behind the curtain, there are two people ahead of old Max Crosby, but Max Crosby is the edge three.
It's Bosa.
Bosa, Micah Parsons.
Oh, Micah Parsons. Yeah, I keep forgetting he moved him over to edge.
Do you agree with that as far as moving ahead? Dynasty ranks for Max Crosby. Max Crosby is 25.4 years old right now. His draft capital is pretty insane. In XFL, he was the 404.
404. Well, he was the DL9.
Wow.
And those best balls that we pulled ADP from.
Yeah.
He was the number one scorer by Big Three scoring, 320.1 points. Nick Bosa was second with 317.
Yeah.
Parsons was third with 279.
Wow.
So those two were the only two guys above 300 points. I think you could make a strong case that Max is number one overall.
That's where I was going. ADP. That's where I was going. If you wanted to trade Micah Parsons, I bet you somebody would give you Max Crosby plus for Micah Parsons. And I'm not so sure I don't hate that trade.
They very well might.
You know, Micah Parsons is great. He's 23.6, but I think mentally in my head,
You could get Max plus for Micah.
Oh, yeah.
I think you do that trade. I think you send away Micah for Max plus.
And at 25 years old, I mean, Max is just getting started, honestly.
So Parsons, 23 years old.
Yeah, 23.6 years old.
Max Crosby, 25.4. So that's probably why Adam has a little bit higher.
Yeah.
About 2 years younger.
I'm still fine. If you wanted to take Max over Micah, I don't hate it. Even straight up, honestly. I really, with the amount of snaps that he plays, with the amount of tackles that he gets, and with, you know, just his general athleticism and the sacks that come with it, I really, really love Max Crosby. And shout out to Macri. Max has been a favorite of Macri's for a long, long time now. And, you know, even a couple years ago when Max wasn't quite the household name yet, I really like Max. Macri has just really pointed me to seeing why Max Crosby is so awesome.
In 2021, Micah Parsons had 84 tackles. In 2022, Max Crosby had 83.
Wow.
He had Micah Parsons in 2022
had
63 tackles.
Wow.
So Crosby had 20 more tackles than Micah Parsons this year.
Dude, and that's
a guy who's still getting some linebacker snaps.
Absolutely.
Isn't that crazy?
Absolutely. And a good coverage grade. I mean, good gosh, you've almost got an 80 grade in coverage. The guy's an animal, and it's fun to watch the Raiders games and just be like, it's almost like, let's just count the amount of snaps that Crosby isn't on the field, because that's going to be a whole lot easier.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know, and shout out to Joey and Kyle. I mean, those are some of the best IDP minds in the game. It's pretty clear they understand the value that is Max Crosby. I mean, he's the most valuable player for the Raiders. He's the best player on the Raiders.
Absolutely.
Offense and defense.
Yeah, I mean, and you got Davante Adams and Josh Jacobs on that team as well.
You agree?
Yeah, oh yeah. I think Max is the best player on that team.
I mean, Davante Adams is a little bit older.
You could definitely make a case for Adams, but I mean, I'm going to make the case for the defensive guy.
Yeah.
And we should point out, too, this is a great example of why you pay attention to PFF.
Yeah.
Because Macri was pounding the table all off season saying the regression, positive regression, the progression is coming back to a healthier place for Max Crosby on the stats because of what the pressures being there. And we saw that bounce back in a big way. He had 10 in 2019 and then 7 and then 8 and then an 11.5 sack season.
Gosh.
So it bounced back and we knew that it would. But, God, look at the tackles, though, Bobo. 46, 39, 55, and then 83. It's crazy. But he stayed healthy, 96% of snaps. Thank you very much to Max Crosby for your service. You were amazing this year for IDP and the MVP pick for Joey, Kyle, and John. Let's move to the second player here, Bobo. Mm-hmm. And it is a defensive tackle. We got all the positions covered tonight. We should point that out. Mm-hmm. Edge rusher, D tackle, cornerback, safety, linebacker. We are going to talk about them all. And next up is our D tackle pick. Bless you. Thank you, Quinnen Williams. Aaron's pick for IDP MVP. Take it away, Aaron.
G'day, IDP show listeners. I'm Aaron, and I'm the duck rep guy. Don't worry, Josh. I'm not coming in with any witty jokes this time about how I'm the reason the show works so well. We flogged that dead horse last time. I'm just here this time with some cold, hard facts about how...
Bless you.
That's right. Big Quinnen Williams is my IDP MVP.
Now, Aaron Donald is always generally set alone atop the D-tackle mountain. And at times, he's had to fend off the occasional DeForest Buckner, Cam Hayward, or Chris Jones, but he's generally remained consensus DT1. Since 2018 and 2019, we've had a massive influx of talent at the position. Dexter Lawrence, Christian Wilkins, Jeffrey Simmons, both guys in Washington there, Jonathan Allen and Deron Payne, and of course, my guy, Cookie. If you're wondering why I'm calling him Cookie, that was his nickname in middle school he got from his friends, because he loved cookies. And as a big guy myself, I can't fault him for that. In a year where we're all questioning, is it the beginning of the end for Donald? The Rams have sucked ass, he's pondered retirement. The DT position has still probably had its best season in a long time, and Quinnen has been the pick of the bunch. Now, at the time of this recording, championship week hasn't begun yet, so I'm not sure what he does against the Seahawks, but if you've had him on your roster up until this season, you've generally never really had to worry about him. At PFF, he's the third highest graded interior lineman with an overall grade of 90.5 and a fifth highest pass rush grade of 84.2 amongst those guys. Now, this is translated into 46 total pressures and 13 sacks. Now, those 13 sacks lead that position and have him tied for sixth in the league amongst all defenders. How does that translate into fantasy points? Well, it meant that he only had three single-digit games all year. Now, week 1, 2, and 12. That's right, he had 11 double-digit games, and the peak of that was a 38.75 versus the Packers in week 6. From week 3 until now, he's averaged 18.9 points per game, and that stayed at 18.26 points per game since New York have come out of their bye in week 10. He's only missed one game this season with injury, and he still managed to end up at the DT1. We've all been waiting for the breakout of Quinnen ever since he was drafted number 3 overall by the Jets in 2019, and I'm here to tell you, now is the time. Cheers. Thanks for listening.
All right, so there you go, Bobo. Aaron making the case very passionately for Cookies, which I did not know was Quinnen Williams' nickname from when he was a young man because he loved cookies. But Quinnen was amazing this season. 51 tackles, 12 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, 1 fumble recovery, 25 years old. The breakout that we had been waiting for with Quinnen Williams finally happened. He is king on D-Tackle Mountain and Dynasty right now, and I could not love this pick more from Aaron. Quinnen Williams, his IDP MVP.
Yeah, it's awful interesting that old Aaron got taken down in the listener league by your boy who had Quinnen Williams. I think this is just a little heartbreak, Aaron.
What do they call that when you a masochist, when you love the pain?
That's it. You can call me whatever you want, but I know I got you, Aaron.
Is that all you got on this? That's Bobby
got you
out.
With Quinnen.
Don't actually drop your mic. That would damage the microphone, Bobo.
Nah, Quinnen's been so good. Let's look at the PFF grade. So he has an overall PFF grade of 90.5.
Wow.
Run defense of 79.3. He has an 86.7 pass rush grade. Oh my goodness, Quinton Williams is by far and away the new D tackle one. I would have probably said in 2021 that it's Aaron Donald, but to keep your eye on Quinton Williams. But Quinton Williams pretty clearly has dethroned AD. We'll talk about it here soon. At some point, maybe we'll put out
a
YouTube
exclusive. We will do that D tackle video.
If Adam ever decides to join us, quit playing golf like a hillbilly.
He was off this week and had beautiful weather, so yeah. He's been on the golf course. I think he said he's played 5 rounds of golf this week.
Sounds a little low for me.
Exactly.
Sounds a little low.
5 rounds in the past 2 days.
That's how many he told his wife.
Yeah, exactly.
But, Quinton's been so good. I don't know what else to say about him, really. 50 tackles, 13 sacks. Oh, my goodness, man. He is he's been an animal. He actually had 50 pressures on the year as well.
So he was the 13th overall scorer by Big Three scoring for all IDP positions.
Wow.
Scored more than Devin White, Brian Burns, Patrick Queen. Quinton was everything you wanted. 250.3 points on the season. That coming off of his rookie season, 73, 175, 149. This is why we started to doubt. Like, all right. Is the breakout actually going to happen here? This was supposed to be Quinton's big breakout year in 2021, and my man scored less than he scored in 2020, but this was the big boom year. Bobo, 250 points for Quinton Williams.
25.1 years old, pretty clearly Adams, defensive tackle one right now. You agree?
Absolutely.
I mean, anybody even – I mean, Jeffrey Simmons,
and I would make a very strong case for Jonathan Allen as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
When we eventually do the defensive tackle video for YouTube, we've hyped this up way too much.
No, it's coming. It's going to blow your freaking mind.
It's going to be the best video on D-tackle dynasty ranks you've ever seen.
I don't know what else to say about Quinton Williams, man. He's been really, really fun. It's kind of cool to see him there with Saleh because Saleh has had a couple of decent defensive tackles play for him as well. DeForest Buckner, who is now a Colt, started off with Robert Saleh out there in San Francisco. That Jets team is fun. I wish they had a quarterback right now. That could be maybe a little bit more competitive.
Jimmy G landing spot next year, potentially.
Oh, gosh.
So Quinton was the overall DL7 with 250.3 points. Next closest D-tackle, 245.2 for Daron Payne.
Wow.
And then Chris Jones, 234.5.
Man, there's been some really good defensive tackles here. For the last couple of years, you know, first couple of years of IDP, it was really a struggle. I mean, for me, it was the early Jarrell Casey years. You know, Grady Jarrett was good there for a while. Aaron Donald's been good for a long time. But it was really pretty much like there's one or two guys, and then after that, you just almost stream them. But I feel like we are pretty rich right now with some defensive tackle production. I love myself some Daron Payne. I love some Christian Wilkins. I even like Christian Barmore. There's still some young guys that are going to have some opportunities. Devonta Wyatt, Kyle Bellyfuel's hard eyes up there in Green Bay. I hope he gets a little bit more opportunity next year. But, Aaron's right. Quinton Williams was amazing. He probably won a lot of people leagues across a lot of defensive tackle specific leagues this year. Because when you have a guy like that that's just a pretty premium outlier in a position where a lot of guys are just trying to get
just
5 to 10 points,
yeah.
You know, and Quinton's throwing out 15 to 25 points a game, it's hard for your league mates to catch up to that.
Absolutely. Well, let's move to our cornerback selection here. And no surprise, but Jake Culhagen is going to speak on why L'Jarius Sneed was his 2022 IDP MVP. Take it away, Jake.
This is Jake Culhagen coming to you, talking to you about my 2022 fantasy football IDP MVP. I got L'Jarius Sneed, cornerback for the Kansas City Chiefs. Really what he did for us this year, I want to break it down. He, rule number one, stayed healthy. He's played 97% of all snaps. So he obviously meets that baseline for us, which is great. But what he did with those snaps is really the real kicker. Excellent utilization, especially for a cornerback. Played plenty in the slot, the fifth most slot snaps here, and this is all through his first 14 games or 15 weeks. But it's really also the 114 box snaps he's had, which is the fifth most in the NFL for all cornerbacks, as well as 77 defensive line snaps too. Second only to Isaiah Simmons. He's kind of a cornerback, I guess, but only 170 on the outside. And along with that, he also leads all cornerbacks in pass rush attempts at 59. And what has he done with that kind of excellent utilization? Well, first of all, he's delivered a solid floor averaging per game 5.4 solo tackles and almost a full assist tackle every single game. That kind of floor is phenomenal. You love to see that, especially in a cornerback or DB slot for you. Then Tagan has big play upside, 4 sacks leading all quarterbacks, 2 interceptions, and 6 pass breakups to boot. So what does that look like, though? It looks phenomenal in his scoring, because what he's done is he's had 3 games only where he has scored under 11 points per the big 3 scoring, which also means then that he's got 11 games above that with 5 coming at 20 plus. So he's been able to not only give you consistency, but the big weeks to boot to help you win those matchups. Now, the real kicker and why he's an MVP, because sure, we have some of these amazing seasons sometimes from the cornerback position, but he did this with almost no foreseen value. You look at some of the average draft position that he came through in some of the best ball IDP drafts that went out there. And so this is accounting for opportunities where you can have those boom bust plays. He still was at best a DB39 across some of the drafts and dropped as low as DB61. For an average of defensive back 50 in terms of his ADP when you put him into a pool of all talent. So at that value alone, you probably grabbed him at the tail end of your drafts or picked him up after his boom week 1, and you were able to ride him all season long and hopefully continue to do so to your FFIDP title.
All right, so Legarius Sneed. I figured he'd pop up on this list, Bobbo, but he was king of not just CB Mountain, but DB Mountain.
Wow. Say that again, Josh.
Not just king of CB Mountain, but DB Mountain, scoring more than all safeties. Legarius Sneed, 244 points on the season, was number 1 amongst all DBs. And this was one of our favorites going back now a couple years, Bobbo. Mm-hmm. I know that I can't remember if it was me or Adam that originally brought up Sneed as a guy who was scoring well for the Chiefs. And now here we are, 2022, the leading DB scorer.
Adam's not here. It was you, Josh.
It was me. I did it. I get all the glory. 105 tackles, 3.5 sacks, 3 forced fumbles, 1 fumble recovery, and 3 picks.
Wow.
Legarius Sneed is just a playmaker, Bobbo.
Take a bow, Legarius. Take a bow. 77.0 overall defensive grade. 67.9 run defense grade. He had an 84.0 pass rush grade and then a coverage grade of 75. Legarius Sneed, let's play devil's advocate for a second. Any chance he gets moved in these cornerback leagues to a safety, you think?
Well, I haven't checked the alignment data to see, but I think he's primarily playing slot. Yeah, slot cornerback. So no, I don't think so.
Man, and that's so crazy to me that not only did he lead cornerbacks, but he also led safeties. People like Derwin James, Jeremy Chinn, Buda Baker, a lot of these cornerback or safeties that we definitely drafted over Legarius Sneed in not only our best ball drafts, but also in just, you know, regular fantasy football IDP drafts. Man, Legarius Sneed, based off of his ADP, helped your team so much this year.
Yeah, Jake said it there in the clip, ADP from those best ball drafts, DB50.
Let's freaking go.
So if you talk about MVP as an exercise in ADP, where you drafted this guy versus where he finished, you've got a very strong case for Legarius Sneed.
Yeah.
Being, especially in a position that is so volatile.
It's like college. They're like, Josh, you're never going to make it through, buddy. You just need to check out. And you'll be like, you know what? I'm going to be freaking valedictorian.
That's right.
You watch this.
You watch me. That was Legarius Sneed in 2022 at DB50. But top 5 DBs, Bobbo. You ready for this? By big 3 scoring, which does count return yardage.
Okay.
And you'll see why I said that here in just a second.
I know what's coming.
Jalen Pitre. We're going to talk about him in just a moment. Number 2. Marcus Jones, number 3. Talanoa Hufanga, number 4. Mm. Number 5, Jalen Ramsey. Number 6, Desmond King.
Wow.
So, what is that? 3 of your top 6, half of the top 6 are CBs. Legarius Sneed, Marcus Jones. No, 4 of the top 6. So, only Hufanga and Pitre.
Wow.
Were safeties inside the top 6.
That's going to be a conversation we're going to talk about this offseason, I feel like. It's going to have to be had. Where are we drafting cornerbacks versus drafting safeties?
We've seen it now. If you get the cornerback scoring right, that position goes from streamable, replaceable to it might not be a bad idea. I mean, if And Jalen Ramsey was, and Sneed both. If you listen to this show, those were not guys that were just like, ah, who could have seen that coming?
Yeah.
If you spent high picks on those guys, you were very much rewarded this season.
And I, you know, not tooting my own horn, but I definitely had Sneed and Ramsey in a bunch of places. And just for that reason alone, because, I mean, if you've listened to our podcast, Adams beat the drum enough. Look, we're going defensive line early. Then we're going to sprinkle in some linebackers. And then at the end, the very end, we'll come back and we'll figure out defensive backs. And, you know, it's almost like even pushing it back even further to where it's like, you know what? Let people take Buda Baker, because we're going to come back around at the end and we're going to tell you, hey, go get Desmond King, who returns punts. Hey, go get Jalen Petre. Go get this guy, Legarius Sneed, who he's got the potential to be the cornerback one. Not only that, but the DB one. So impressive, man. Here's another question for you. Is Legarius Sneed a good sell in Dynasty?
I was literally just getting ready to say.
I could read them beautiful eyes.
I was getting ready to say, Legarius Sneed is an amazing sell. Yeah. Maybe the number one sell in Dynasty right now, because this is very likely not going to repeat. I mean, here's the thing, guys. He's at number one.
Yeah.
So the only way to go is down.
Yeah.
So it's like, are we going to see Legarius Sneed number one DB season 2023? Probably not.
Yeah.
So it's like, cash out now. Sell them to somebody who thinks, oh, yeah, we got a locked and loaded top three cornerback DB for the next five. Sell to that person.
Yeah. I would love to know the last time that the CB1 or the DB1 or whatever even finished up the next year in like the top three. I know back-to-back number one years, I don't know that I've ever seen it before. Maybe it's happened at some point. But you're right, Josh. He's 26 years old. I don't know what I want for Legarius Sneed. You know, it'd have to be something pretty decent because the guy is a playmaker. But you're right. He is probably a pretty good sell. Adam. Yes.
He's 25.
Okay. I was reading that wrong.
Yeah, 25 years old. I don't know what I would want for Legarius Sneed. I mean, my mind goes to second round pick, but
that's what Adam has here.
Is that what he has in the trade chart?
Yeah, but then it's like, I don't know.
Trade?
It is a cornerback.
You do that trade if you're one playmaker away. Like if you, that's a move I'm making right before the deadline. Mm-hmm. I've got a locked and loaded team. I've got a real good shot at the playoffs.
Let's go the other way though. Would you not feel kind of comfortable giving a second for Legarius Sneed? It kind of feels like you're buying him a little cheap.
I mean,
I don't know. Maybe this is just me because I know he's a cornerback. I get it.
Probably like to give maybe a third and like a future third or something like that. A second is kind of rich because you could get some nice linebackers, wide receivers, running backs, like more valuable positions in the second round.
I guess so.
I'm not saying I would feel bad if I spent a second, but I would try to avoid spending a second for Sneed.
I get it, and he's a cornerback. We don't want to buy cornerbacks, but, man, the guy is fun.
He's a playmaker, and that's...
You should trade him, though. You're right.
That's right. That's why he was Jake's MVP. Let's talk about the number two DB on the season by Big Three scoring. It is Jalen Petre of the Houston Texans. Johnny the Greek's pick for IDP MVP. Johnny, the floor is yours, my friend.
Happy New Year's, fellas. My IDP MVP pick for this season is safety Jalen Petre of the Texans, who, going into Week 18, has 139 combined tackles with one more week to play still. He also adds to that one sack, five picks, five tackles for loss, eight pass defense, one forced fumble, one fumble recovery, and one QB hit. That's for the season. In playoffs, the last 4 weeks, 47 combined tackles, 4 pass defenses, 2 interceptions. Monster weeks, consistently for a month plus. His price before this year, 5th or a 6th round pick in many rookie drafts. And he went undrafted in tons of the redrafts that I was in this year. I just went back and looked. So my IDP MVP for this season is Jalen Petre. Because he didn't cost you much, and he delivered what it mattered, and he did it all season long. Thanks, fellas.
All right, so Johnny did not go with his specialty, Bobo. He did not go cornerback for his MVP pick. He kind of surprised me. I was talking in our MCU chat with him and Mike, letting them know, hey, you guys, if you'd like to contribute, we'd love to have some picks. And when he threw out Jalen Petre, I was like, okay, I hadn't thought about that. But here's the thing Johnny said. I think Petre won him a lot of leagues here near the end of the season. And you look at the log, and it's easy to understand why. Since week 13 against Cleveland, Petre went 29.4, 21.5, 13.75, 20.85, and 25.25.
You know, and just like the guy we just talked about, L'Jarius Sneed, Jalen Pitre can be talked about in the same breath as Sneed, because, I mean, Pitre was awesome this year. Put up just as many points, probably regardless of whatever your scoring system is.
He was 4 points off of Sneed.
The guy,
so he was right there.
He had a ton of tackles. He had 5 interceptions on the year, 1 sack, 1 fumble recovery. Jalen Pitre, especially, I understand what Johnny's saying, because really MVP, most valuable player to your IDP team. And I agree with what you're saying, Josh, that Pitre probably won Johnny quite a bit of money down the stretch, because, man, those tackles the last 5 weeks, he won you your quarterfinals, he won you your semifinals, he got you some healthy stats in your championship week. And that's what we're looking for, you man. The ones that bite you in championship week and in semifinal week, those are probably the first ones that are on the ship out next year,
yes,
you know?
Absolutely. I wanted to see here, I got the ADP pulled up. So Pitre, across those best balls that we tracked, went DB 51, DB 57, DB 52, DB 68, DB 73.
Oh my god.
And
gosh.
Then DB 88.
Oh wow.
So somewhere between, I think I said the highest was like 50 something.
Let's say 70.
So somewhere in the 50 to 80 range.
Sure.
That's crazy. Finished as the DB2 on the season.
Again, let's reiterate, this is why you don't draft defensive backs high.
Truly.
Are you trading Pitre?
Boy, I don't know.
Yeah.
Because this is a rookie that is on a rebuilding team. This team is looking for playmakers. It is looking for blue chip guys to build around. He's 23 years old. I think I'm holding on to Pitre. Now, of course, everyone has a price, especially safety. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to make someone pay up for Pitre.
How are you feeling now with Pitre amongst the other safeties from last year?
So, I'm trying to think of where am I putting him in the dynasty safety landscape? Because I think you could make a strong case that he deserves to be top 2, top 3.
Yeah.
Because you have Derwin. Mm-hmm. I think Hufanga deserves to be up there. I think CJ Gardner-Johnson deserves to be up there. Mm-hmm. I think Jeremy Chinn should be in the mix. I think Pitre should be in the mix. Brisker should be in there as well. Mm-hmm. Buda Baker probably on the fringes. Jamal Adams will probably be, he's probably still like, I don't know, top 12, top 15.
We haven't mentioned the first safety taken off of most IDP boards in the rookie draft in 2022.
Kyle Hamilton. That's
Kyle
right.
Hamilton
should be in there as well.
Yeah.
So do you like, Hamilton or Pitre?
I think for me, it's definitely not Hamilton. The discussion for me, at least in terms of last year, is Brisker or Pitre.
It's Pitre.
I don't know. I love me some Brisker. If I could get Brisker plus for Pitre, I think I'd be okay with that.
Very similar situation.
Yeah, it really is.
He played well as well. 167.8 points, 94 tackles, 4 sacks, forced fumble, fumble recovery, INT. Brisker's a playmaker as well.
Yeah, he pops on the field,
like, make
too.
No mistakes. If you wanted to go get Brisker plus, mm-hmm, for Pitre, yeah, no problem with that.
Yeah, I agree. But no, Pitre's fun. Pitre could be... he could be one of the guys that you hear us defensive back talking about this offseason. This is maybe the guy you kind of hold on to.
If when we do a top 8 dynasty safety video,
yeah,
Pitre's getting mentioned in there.
Because a lot of those DBs, like, you know, they're just DBs. They're replaceable. You know, if somebody comes knocking and it seems like it's a value that behooves you to move them, then get rid of them. But
good use of behoove.
Yeah, I know. I'm a good behoover. But, anyways, I lost a train of thought after that one, Josh.
I figured out the word I was looking for earlier.
Okay.
It's Schadenfreude. Yeah. You know what Schadenfreude is?
100%. It's
German, think,
right?
I'm going to look it up just to be sure. It is German, yes.
Yeah, I knew it was.
But it's taking pleasure, I think, in your own pain or someone else's pain.
Yeah, sure.
So that was like Aaron picking Quinnen Williams.
Uh-huh.
That was Schadenfreude.
Yeah, I knew it was.
I like introducing you to new words.
Seemed like something Dwight Schrute would have said on The Office.
That would be a good choice.
Yeah.
So there you go. Johnny the Greek's pick, Jalen Pitre, safety number 1 on the season.
Jalen Pitre or Derwin James?
Oh, boy. That is a very good question. Probably, man.
Macri's not listening.
Macri's definitely listening.
We'll turn off his Canadian.
He wants to hear what we have to say about his Max pick. Because we should, I mean, we didn't bring it up in the discussion, but Macri tried to pull the old swerve there at the end and say, so my IDP MVP pick is, yeah, Derwin James. He just couldn't not pick Derwin.
Yeah.
So he's kind of cheating and hedging and
saying both. We're tired of him.
But, probably Derwin. But it's close. It's very close.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what I'd say.
We will have the safety video TBD. Coming soon, so keep your eyes peeled for that.
May of 2024.
Exactly. Sometime in the very distant future. So our next pick here, we've got everyone's favorite position. To wrap up the show, we're going to be talking some linebackers here. We should mention Addy's pick. He didn't get to do a clip, but he picked Josie Jewell as his IDP MVP. And to get us started here with the clips, we are going to tee up a Carolina Panthers linebacker, but not the one that everyone thought coming into the season. Dynasty Trip and Jeff Pomazol, a.k.a. Boo Bam, are both going with Frankie Louvu. Gentlemen, talk us through your picks.
Gentlemen, my IDP MVP nominee for the 2022 football season is Frankie Louvu, the linebacker for the Carolina Panthers. In just 14 games this season, he has 105 tackles, including 17 for loss and 7 quarterback sacks. That 17 tackle for loss number puts him within 3 of the overall lead and leads linebackers in that particular number. He's been a top 12 linebacker on the season after being available virtually for free at the beginning of the season. He had just 6 tackles in week 1 but played 85% of the snaps, making him an ideal target off the waiver wire. And those folks who took a chance on him in drafts were handsomely rewarded, especially in those formats that rely on true positions. In some platforms, he has a DE designation, and in such platforms, he could be the top overall scorer at the position, depending on scoring settings. This kind of advantage is hard to come by in IDP leagues and often makes the difference between wins and losses, and he possibly propelled folks to a title victory with a 13-tackle, 1-sack performance in Week 17. It's been a great year on the IDP show. I appreciate y'all including me, and hope everyone had a happy new year, and we look forward to talking to you here in 2023. Thanks, fellas.
My IDP MVP for 2022, it all comes down to value for me. Last year, it was Denzel Perryman, who basically was free to start the season, came on and put up top 5 numbers all year long. So again, for me, it's about value, and this linebacker scored 229 points in Big 3 IDP scoring, despite not playing 2.5 games, and he finished 7th overall, and this is while playing about 100 to 200 less snaps than the other linebackers around him. He only played about 806 snaps on defense, which is remarkable. He was 2nd in points per snap as a linebacker, just behind Josie Jewell, who scored 0.3 of a point every snap. And this linebacker scored 0.29 of a point every snap. So just missing out there. This linebacker also had 4 20-plus games, including a 32-point effort in Week 4 against Arizona. Remarkably, he's still only rostered in 2% of sleeper leagues. So kind of baffling to me that this linebacker, who I'm nominating for the IDP MVP for 2022, is still available. It's none other than Frankie Louvu. So that's my vote.
All right, so Bobbo, we've got a couple linebackers here in a row that were essentially no-name guys before the season. Maybe you saw them pop up in like a few, hey, keep an eye on this deep sleeper. But Frankie Louvu was not someone on anyone's radar until he absolutely popped off week 1 of the 2022 NFL season. Week 2, he went for 28.5 points. I think the week 1 was the snap count. Came out with the dot. I remember Mike Woller talking about this.
68 snaps in week 1.
We think it's going to be Shaq Thompson. Who is this Frankie Louvu, Louvu guy with the green dot? And then he goes for 28.5 in week 2, 33.55 in week 4. On the season, 255.15 points, 105 tackles, 7 sacks.
Gosh.
7 sacks for Frankie, who got a lot of edge snaps.
Mm-hmm.
1 forced fumble, 1 INT. You paid nothing for Frankie, and yet he gave you outrageous production, Bobbo.
72.7 overall defensive grade, 85.5 run defense grade, 71.9 pass rush grade. Oh my goodness, Frankie Louvu for free was a league winner for you this year.
Do you know where he was drafted in the best balls that we did?
I don't know. Outside of LB50 had to be.
He was not.
Really?
Not drafted.
Oh my god.
I've got the spreadsheet right here. I'm typing in Louvu and Frankie. No matches found.
Wow.
Not drafted at all, Bobbo.
Yeah, I mean, he was a waiver wire darling in our gosh, that was so country, and I apologize
for that. Waiver wire darling.
I apologize for nothing. But no.
Okay, so we should keep in mind too, our deepest drafts went 111 linebackers.
Oh,
Frankie Louvu was not drafted.
Wow.
111 linebackers.
You could fall in love with that real quick.
There you go.
That's easy money. You're playing with house money.
Love you, Frankie, darling.
Is he too boom-bust for you, though, for the future?
Let's look at the log.
The log is a little up and down.
26 years old. He is pretty boom-bust, isn't he?
He's put you up some threes and some eights and some nines.
But, man, look at that end of the season, though, man.
Oh, look at championship week. 10 tackles. He had 3 assists, and he had a freaking sack for you.
That's why it's like, yeah.
Beat me.
He, no, man, well, I say he was boom bust, but then I look down through here. He gave you 2 games under 5 points.
Mm-hmm.
A 3.5 and a 2.75. Early in the season, he gave you a 9.75 and a 9, but otherwise.
It was okay.
Oh, my God. 28.5, 33.55, 20.05, 20.6. There was an 11.5 in there, but then he went 24.4. 19.25, 8.75, 31.45. Recency bias is a real thing, and I think Frankie Louvu might have done some real good for Tripp and Boo Bam's rosters because those are the types of guys that you want to say, Frankie, I love you, darling.
You want to know where I messed up, Josh?
Where'd you mess up, Bobbo?
A couple weeks back, I made a trade with old Zachy boy, and I sent off Miles Sanders and Frankie Louvu, and I don't even remember now what I got back in return, but after I sent Louvu, I thought, you know, that might have been a mistake. I might have done messed up there. I kind of saw Louvu as a good midseason sell. I kind of thought that the production wouldn't stay high because Shaq Thompson was kind of hurt some throughout the year, and I thought, well, when Shaq Thompson comes back, Louvu's snaps are going to decrease some, and he's going to take a hit. His IDP production is going to slide, and he's not going to be the peak sell that he is week 10-ish, somewhere in that time frame.
Yeah.
And I was wrong.
LB4, missing 2 games.
Wow.
Missed 2 games, LB4 on the season.
And wasn't drafted in a 110 linebacker IDP best ball draft.
That's right.
Was not drafted.
That's right.
Unbelievable.
Excellent pick. I think you these two guys, I think Legarius Sneed, great argument to be made, ADP versus production or, you know, the actual output for the season where he finished. But Frankie Louvu, oh my gosh, he's got a strong case to be made as well.
What do we do with this guy?
I think you just hold on to him, right?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, what are you going to get for him? It's the question Adam always asks. Like,
do you think people are going to see him as like the Denzel Perryman type? That's like IDP managers are going to be like, yeah, but Louvu's not going to stay
there.
Are
we trusting this guy?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's a fair question to ask. You got a new coaching staff coming in Carolina.
But as good as his overall, his run defense and his pass rush was as far as PFF grades go, he did have a 54 tackle grade and a 53 grade in coverage. Now, I do think that he shines in pass rush, obviously with 7 sacks on the season. I really thought that pairing of Shaq Thompson and Frankie Louvu in certain games where the Panthers weren't just getting mauled, they looked like a pretty good little, you know, defensive set.
Good.
Absolutely.
They had a chance to make the playoffs.
Got to give a little bit of credit to the guy who got fired there. Gosh, what was his name?
Matt Rhule?
Yes. I thought his defense, he made some decent choices.
The defense started playing a lot better once Steve Wilks got promoted
true.
To interim head coach.
Jeremy Chinn's been fine, though. You know, Brian Burns is great off
nice
the edge.
Pieces
they have
there,
some
man.
Pieces.
J.C. Horn
yeah.
is great.
Yep.
But he is he will be a free agent in 2024. So he is due for a payday.
Wow.
New coaching staff. So I got a little bit of uncertainty around, okay, where does this guy land? Does he get a big deal? Does he get a starting job? So a little bit of uncertainty there, but what is somebody going to give you for Frankie Louvu? They going to give you a third?
Man, after that championship game, if people are paying attention, he's just so boom-bust. I mean, I'm not taking a third for him. I know that might sound a little crazy. I'd want a second if I'm getting rid of Frankie Louvu.
You're getting greedy.
I may be.
Did you get a second back with Zach?
I don't think it was picks involved. I think it was all players.
All players?
Yeah.
All right.
It bit me. Bit me right square in the butt cheek.
In the butt cheek. But you did love getting to hear Tripp's voice there, Bobo.
Oh, shoot.
Just read me a bedtime story.
I got a couple Walt Whitman poems I need you to read for me, Tripp.
Tripp, do not answer any emails from
Bobo. I'm in your DMs now, Tripp.
Do not answer
any I got a couple little Adam voices we got to get in. I miss him. He needs to come back.
He needs to come back.
I know he's not having fun at this Western game.
Hey, the Western game got close. Did you see?
I didn't see.
32-24.
Oh,
tops are climbing their way back.
Adam must have subbed in. Found him a set of jerseys.
Yeah, put on. 15-34. He said he's in the box, so they're doing pretty well.
Oh wow,
I think he's having a good time.
Look at him.
We're having a good time as well, though, Bobo. And that is going to continue because, for as bad as this Colts season was, there were some IDP bright spots. None brighter than this next player up here, who is the choice of Mike Wohlert and Evan Ronda for their IDP MVP for 2022. It is Zaire Franklin. Gentlemen, I would love to hear you give some love to Zaire Franklin. Take it away.
What is up, everybody? Mike Wohlert here from 444.com. We are talking the IDP MVP for the 2022 season. But first, continue to get great news on DeMar Hamlin, which is just fantastic considering the horrible injury, horrible situation that happened Monday night. So great news and continued thoughts and prayers out to DeMar Hamlin and the entire family. But we are talking IDP MVP 2022 season. And if you can believe it, we're at the end. I can't believe how quickly the season went. But in terms of my MVP, I have to give it to Zaire Franklin, linebacker of the Indianapolis Colts. This was a linebacker who probably wasn't drafted during the spring and summer months and was maybe a late round flyer when the news on Shaquille Darius Leonard's injury became a little bit more apparent and we got more news. So he probably was drafted mid to late rounds and he completely outperformed his ADP. You were probably able to pair him with someone like Fasade Aluokun or Jordan Brooks or CJ Mosley. He was fantastic. 160 tackles, and a 15% tackle rate. He wore the dot as the play caller of the defense and appeared in 100% of the snaps. For me, that's my MVP. 100% of the snaps right there, along with his tackle rate. He added 6 defended passes, 2 forced fumbles. Although he had limited pass rush snaps, he generated a 19% pressure rate and added 2 sacks to go along with his stats. All in all, he produced nearly 0.27 fantasy points per snap and finished as the LB5 overall in most scoring systems. So if you got Zaire Franklin as an LB3, LB4, you got an elite linebacker, probably carried your team. And again, Zaire Franklin is my IDP MVP for the 2022 season.
This is Evan Ronda, host of the IDP Game Theory Podcast. Once again, I've been tasked with finding the most valuable player for IDP leagues this year. Before I can reveal my selection, I must first define my process for determining who that player might be. To me, the term most valuable player implies that the asset returned on their investment cost at a rate greater than any other. There were a few defensive players who performed mightily this season, and were drafted to do just that. Foyesaud Oluokun, Nick Bolton, and Roquan Smith come to mind. And while their impact on fantasy rosters cannot be denied, there was another linebacker that earned more tackles than Smith, had more sacks than Oluokun, and forced more fumbles than Bolton. On average, those three players were drafted as the 2nd, 8th, and 22nd linebackers in IDP leagues. My MVP was not only drafted significantly later than all three of those players, but he was also actually undrafted in almost every league. Going into the season, he was expected to be the 3rd string linebacker on his own team, but an injury to their starter, gave him an opportunity to show out, and his strong play allowed him to keep the starting role for the entirety of the season. My IDP MVP of the 2022 season is Colts linebacker Zaire Franklin. He was third in the league in snaps played at the position, fourth in combined tackles, fourth in solo tackles, and seventh in tackles for a loss. Sharper managers were able to add him for free off of waivers when teammate Shaquille Leonard was set to miss time at the start of the season. Once Franklin got the start, he never looked back, combining for 10 or more tackles in 10 of his games, and averaging 10 tackles a game over the course of the season. He also never let managers down, having zero bust games all year. Managers that rostered Franklin can thank him for his services and thank their lucky stars that they were the first to add him, because he was likely a pivotal contributor on many championship rosters.
All right, so Bobo, we even got Evan's background music in his clip, his little kind of techno beat that he put together. Love the video that he put out on Twitter showing how he made that beat himself. Very cool.
He's the cream of the crop.
He is a talented young man.
He sure is.
So we appreciate Mike and Evan submitting those picks. Again, Zaire Franklin, Bobo, do you think, I'm going to search for Zaire, do you think Zaire appears on this ADP spreadsheet that we have?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
Was I right?
You were right.
I knew it.
So not drafted across those six best balls either.
Going into the Colts season this year, it was probably Darius Leonard, Bobby Okereke, then EJ Speed.
EJ Speed, I think, was getting more love and attention than Zaire Franklin was. I remember when we were talking about this in the draft kit, the discussion was, okay, Shaq's looking like he might miss some time. Let's write up and include EJ Speed in the ranks. And I don't think Zaire Franklin was even really much of a consideration at that point.
Yeah.
Then he gets the captain's patch. Then he gets the green dot. Then he plays 100% of snaps.
Old captain patch.
Old captain patch.
That's a guarantee.
One Adam over. Does Adam have a captain patch?
He does.
Column in the dynasty
on the ranks. It's the only guy with it.
But I love that.
Here's the negativity though to Zaire. As much as I love him, I rostered him in a couple leagues this year. He was fantastic. I mean, the production is awesome. The PFF grades are a little, they're okay. Overall defensive grade of 56, run defense grade of 64.6, tackle grade of 55, pass rush of 67, and a coverage grade of 50.5.
Yeah.
So just kind of
meh.
Hanging around.
Yep.
Not elite, not bad, but
he's the linebacker you want in Indy though, man.
Give me the eye test. You watch more Indianapolis Colts than anybody. What do you think about Zaire on the field?
Solid.
What are we doing moving forward?
I think he's the LB you want there. Wow. And because that role is so profitable, I mean we've seen it for as long as really since Darius Leonard came into the league. That linebacker one spot in Indy has been very productive.
What's a future hole with Shaq?
Boy, I don't know. That's the big question mark. I think we've mentioned this before. Does Bobby O come back? I saw Zach Kiefer talking about he thinks Bobby O is going to go get a nice payday somewhere else. And then I'm tired of the Shaq Leonard is going to come back healthy and ready to. I've been hearing this for 3 years.
Yeah, it's been turning into the Michael Thomas kind of thing.
I'm just done.
Yeah,
I'll believe it when I see it. So if I'm not kidding when I say going into best ball drafts for 2023, I'm taking Zaire Franklin well before I take Shaq Leonard.
Wow,
absolutely, you have to, because until we know about Shaq's health, we have no idea. This guy got his big deal. Would it shock anyone if he pulls an Andrew Luck and just says,
I'm done,
guys. I'm so tired. My mental health is shot. I'm tired of this rehab cycle. I got my money. I just want to go live my life. I don't think he would do that, but we don't know what's going on with these guys, man, in the dark winter months when they're just rehabbing and there's no football to be played.
Shaq Leonard will be 28 this year. Adam has him right now in the ranks as the LB12, but I feel like that's probably a little optimistic. After these last couple weeks, Adam will probably get in here and adjust a few things, I would say as well. Yeah, man, Zaire is a...
He's 26 years old.
Yeah, Zaire is a... He baffles me, honestly, because the on-the-field production looks awesome. But then honestly, the PFF grades are kind of poo-poo.
He is a classic case of he's out there 100% of snaps.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing too with the Colts is like,
it's not warm body. I don't want a warm body production, Zaire Franklin, but he's not like,
he's not elite.
Outstanding stud like, you know, a Fred Warner type that's scoring in the 90s on PFF.
So dynasty-wise, we're not linking arms with Zaire.
I wanted to pull up the contract. So the contract, I believe he'll be there next year. Yes. And so he's there for the next 2 years. He's under contract 23 and 24.
Wow.
So in terms of security,
next couple of years are good.
He's the only secure linebacker in Indianapolis. So we'll watch the news on Shaq Leonard throughout the offseason. He'll be such a big ADP mover and shaker based on the news. Mm-hmm. And I think Zaire will reflect a little bit what happens with Shaq's ADP.
In the XFL, LB4 and LB5, Zaire Franklin and Frankie Louvu, who do you want in Dynasty?
Oh, man. That's a great question. Probably Zaire, just because I know I've got Zaire on the Colts for the next 2 years. Mm-hmm. You got one more year with Frankie. Both teams are going to have new coaching staffs.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
So age is about the same. So
man, and that probably even bodes worse for Shaq, honestly. You know, new coaching staff coming in. I don't know what Irsay and Shaq's relationship is. I don't know.
Irsay loves Shaq Leonard.
See, that's the caveat that might be, you know, continuing to link arms with Shaq Leonard.
And I want to pull up the contract here too. So 2023, he'll be on the roster. His dead cap is $24 million against a $20 million cap hit. It would cost them $4 million more to cut Leonard than to keep him.
Yeah,
so Leonard will be there if he's healthy.
Yeah.
That's the question.
Yeah.
And that's something to watch with Bobby O. I don't think we'll have the money to bring back Bobby O. I think he'll go earn a nice payday elsewhere.
He's been fine.
Yeah, he's been good.
He's been okay. EJ Speed got a little run there late towards the season.
I saw a lot of EJ Speed.
I wonder if that's not maybe a little inclination to Bobby O. Thank you for your services.
Yeah.
We're kind of going to see what EJ looks like.
We're going to keep you healthy. We're not going to ding you up and knock down your free agent value.
The Colts going to turn it around very quickly?
No, we're not.
What are we doing here?
There's a lot of scenarios. I was thinking about this. Because
Colts and the Rams are real similar right now.
We have options, though, right? We have first-round pick. We have some cap space.
Rams don't have that.
Yeah, so we have a couple different avenues we can go down. I think we can go get the big name coach. We can go the Harbaugh and Aaron Rodgers route, right? Like, or we can go get the big name veteran quarterback, the Derek Carr, Jim Harbaugh route. I don't think that's the route I want to go. I was talking with, I think it was Connor about this. I would love to see us go rookie quarterback. And I would love to see us get a up and coming offensive mind like a Shane Steichen.
Yeah.
Offensive coordinator for the Eagles, who has built a beautiful offensive system around a little bit of an unorthodox quarterback in Jalen Hurts. So give me that guy as the head coach who can shepherd this young quarterback through some early developmental kind of growing pains.
Are you going to do that, though, with Ballard?
I would like to see Ballard gone as well. Yeah. I thought he should have been fired as opposed to Frank Reich.
Ballard just so close to Irsay.
Well, Irsay has said that Ballard is going to be the GM, but depends on who's out there.
I agree with you. I did see the last Colts game that I watched, the sad picture of Andrew Luck up there throwing a football, and then all the quarterbacks since then, and it's just like old, Jacoby Brissett, Phillip Rivers, Matt Ryan, Carson Wentz. Just like, all right, guys, this is not working, so you're going to have to like,
get off the carousel.
Yeah, and I mean, like, sure, you drafted a rookie quarterback in Sam
Ellinger,
and then even Jacob Eason. I don't remember what the draft pick. Probably not very.
It was late.
Yeah, by quarterback we mean like C.J. Stroud.
Yeah. I think Bryce Young's probably going one.
Sure.
To the Texans if they lock that up. Here's the thing.
I know where you're going.
If the Bears get into that one spot, I would not mind us moving up to one and then having our pick of the litter. Yeah. Whether it's Stroud, whether it's Young.
It's your all's time to get you a Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence,
please.
To get you a Burrow.
It's time.
Yeah.
And I don't care. I don't care if it cost us a first this year and a first next year. The only thing that matters for the Colts get the head coach figured out, but more importantly, get the quarterback.
Because, I mean, honestly, even if you go and do this whole, you're not getting Aaron Rodgers, but even if you do this whole Derek Carr year again in 2023, it's going to be the same outcome. You're not going to be a great team.
You have to build it down. We can't keep pretending like, especially with the Jaguars surging in the AFC South.
Yep.
And especially if the Texans get Bryce Young.
Yeah.
Suddenly they're on the come up. They're probably still a year or two away, but like we got to stop pretending like a mediocre roster is not going to crash and burn at some point. And this year it crashed and burned. It's time to pick up the pieces and rebuild.
And you can't tell me that a year with Bryce Young or a year with Derek Carr, that the record in 2023 would be any different.
It probably wouldn't.
Derek Carr has how many wins this year on a team that he's been for a long time?
Yeah.
So now you put him on the Colts.
They're breaking up.
Yeah.
Davante Adams and Derek Carr.
Davante Adams now gets to pick the quarterback that he wants for next
year. Came to Las Vegas. Aaron Rodgers, maybe?
Yeah.
That would be crazy.
Yeah.
Or Tom Brady?
There's, like we talked about the other day, there's a lot of really horrible quarterback play in the NFL right now.
Yeah, I agree. But not a lot of horrible IDP play on this list, Bobo. Mm-mm. And I am up next with my MVP pick. We keep the linebacker train a-rolling with my pick for 2022. Now, we've heard a lot of very good arguments about what is an MVP, Bobo. And I totally get the argument that an IDP MVP is someone who vastly outperforms their ADP. But let's think about the NFL. What does the MVP represent in the actual NFL, right? It is awarded to someone who came into the season, typically, with high expectations and then lived up to the billing, right? Mahomes probably going to win it this year. Mm-hmm. He may not have been everyone's consensus number one MVP pick, but he was probably in the top five for everyone. Mm-hmm. And now he's probably going to win MVP. Mm-hmm. So I am going with that approach for my choice, Jaguars linebacker Foyesade Oluokun. I've said previous episodes, Bobo, I think Foye is the most underappreciated IDP superstar that we have, and I still believe that. But he plays in Jacksonville. Before that, he played in Atlanta. He's just a tackle monster. And coming into this year, he had two talented rookies alongside him. We should trade fade LBs, especially the top ones, because the position is so volatile, right? These were some of the objections and the reasons that we had Foyesade Oluokun. We had these doubts around this guy. LB 8 in these best balls that we did. Mm. So still a high pick, but not a 1, 2, or 3. Mm-hmm. There were these reservations. But these concerns, these doubts, Bobo, they were justified back in the summer, but they were wrong. Mm-hmm. Setting aside Micah Parsons, Foyesade Oluokun was the number one scoring linebacker by Big Three scoring. His 273 points were fourth most among all IDPs. Now, Frankie Louvu, Zaire Franklin, we just talked about them. They scored 255 and 251 points respectively. So are Foye's extra 20 points worth the draft capital you had to pay for him versus those two other guys? Of course not. But when it comes to building a true contender, having your studs not crap the bed, Bobo, is just as important as snagging some gems off the waiver wire. And I would argue the latter action, like Johnny the Greek always says, paying attention, clicking the mouse, and adding a guy, that's a low-risk dart throw. If that waiver addition from week one doesn't work out, what do, Bobo?
Eh.
You just cut him and move on.
Who cares?
Right? It's no big deal. Drafting any player early in fantasy football, offense, or IDP is a huge gamble. Miss on that pick, and your season might very well be sunk. Ask the Jonathan Taylor managers how many of them made the playoffs this year. But if you nail that pick, you've got the kind of cheat code advantage at the position you were hoping for when you drafted that guy. I applaud Foye for not only living up to the billing, but far surpassing my expectations, Bobo. I thought at LB8, Foye was a lock for the top 12, and he finished as the LB1. So my 2022 IDP MVP, Foyesade Oluokun.
Fantastic.
Thank you, Bobo.
Fantastic. Foye was so good this year. You know, and we were wrong. You're absolutely right. He was the LB1 in 2021. And now here we are following up the next season, and Foyer is yet again a top 3 to 5 LB, just depending on your scoring. His tackles are healthy. His PFF grades are great. 71.1 run defense grade. I'm sorry, overall defensive grade. 69.9 tackle grade. 80.2 pass rush grade.
Wait, what was the overall?
71.1.
Wow.
80.2 pass rush, and then 70.4 in coverage.
That's significantly better than what he had done in past years, wasn't it?
2021 run defense, or overall defensive grade of 47.
Wow.
Run defense of 44, pass rush grade of 49. His coverage grade in 2021 was 54.4. Fantastic, man.
Wow.
Foyer is really good.
Tip of the cap, Foyer. 171 tackles, one sack. Let me say that again. 171 tackles.
139 of those were solo. 32 of them were assisted.
Yeah. One sack, two forced fumbles, two fumble recoveries.
139 of those were solo.
Yeah. Let that sink in, folks. With Chad Muma and Devin Lloyd playing alongside him.
In week 12, he had 14 solos. In week 13, he had 11 solos. In week 14, he had 10 solos. And in week 15, he had 13 solos. I guarantee you, if you had Foyer, you probably were in the fantasy football playoffs.
Truly.
If you have any type of competency. Truly. As far as IDP is concerned.
Yep.
Foyer was definitely a guy that we were wrong on. There were a lot of people who've been crapping on Foyer for several years now. You know, he's not going to live up to it. He's another Deion Buchanan type. But Foyer, man, he proved all of us wrong, putting the production out. The PFF grades are fantastic. The team is working out that he's on. It's pretty clear that the contract that the Jaguars gave him, even though it was a pretty hefty contract, he was worth it in 2022.
That's right.
And I don't know what it looks like for him moving forward with Devin Lloyd and with Chad Muma, but the Jaguars have options, and options aren't so bad of a thing.
Yeah.
You know?
So, tip of the cap, Foyse Aluakun, my IDP MVP. And Bobo, you are going with one of your absolute favorites for this season. Who's your pick for 2022 IDP MVP?
So my IDP MVP is going to be Mr. Nicholas Bolton.
Woo!
Linebacker.
Jolly old Saint Nick.
For the Kansas City Chiefs. His ADP this offseason in our best ball drafts was the linebacker 22 on average. Sometimes he was around 18. Sometimes he was closer to 30. He had 165 combined tackles on the season. He had two sacks to go with two interceptions as well. He played 97.3% of snaps in 2022, coming off of 55.7% of snaps played in 2021.
Scheme busters.
His defensive coordinator is Steve Spagnuolo.
Steve the Serpent Spagnuolo.
He led the Chiefs in snaps in 2022. He had a 2.9% missed tackle rate. He only missed five tackles on the entire season. His PFF grades are as followed: 75.1 overall grade, 90.1 run defense grade, and a 72.6 coverage grade. You know, the other thing that I think is really impressive for Nick Bolton is, shout out John Macri again for his tackles versus expected chart that he put out in the postseason prior to this year. Aside from Denzel Perryman leading linebackers in production of tackles versus expected, Nick Bolton was a close number two. Nick Bolton was fantastic this year.
And you take that chart and you can kind of argue that one of two ways, that, okay, if Nick Bolton's snaps stay about the same, mm-hmm. he's going to regress. That's why a lot of people had hesitancy about Bolton was, I mean, it's Spagnuolo. He's not going to start a linebacker 95%+ of snaps, right? And if he didn't, Bolton was going to fall off a cliff. He was, what, 34 mm-hmm. tackles above expected?
Yep, 34.2.
That's crazy.
Yep.
But that also told you what was going to happen if Nick Bolton did get 95%+ of snaps.
Mm-hmm.
Dude was going to eat.
Exactly right, Josh. On 55% of snaps in 2021, he had 116 tackles. And like we just saw, on 97% of snaps in 2022, he produced for us 165 combined
tackles.
What
was the tackle grade? The tackle grade this season was like in the 90s as well, wasn't it?
I need to look and see. I don't have that here in front of me.
I mean, 2.9% missed tackle rate, 5 missed tackles, and 164 total tackles. This dude, it was everything you would want in a linebacker.
Yeah, man. Bolton was the scheme buster for us. You know, me and Adam and you talked about Quay Walker and about Ernest Jones. Oh, man. Yeah, his tackle grade this season was 90.1. Is that what you asked for?
Yeah.
Yeah.
90.1.
Last year it was 83.6, so we saw it coming.
He was. So we've hit mainly almost all the linebackers here that finished inside the top six. Mm-hmm. Foyce Adeluikun by Big Three scoring was number one. Roquan was number two. Nick Bolton was number three. Luvu was four. B-Wags was five. Zaire Franklin was six.
And not to reveal too much of Adam's ranks, but LB1 right now is Roquan Smith. LB2?
Nick Bolton.
Nick Bolton.
Yep. And I said if we did the LB Dynasty video again next summer, Bolton might be one. But with the way Roquan has played since the trade, I think Roquan deserves that number one spot.
I normally don't have a hard time cutting bait with some of these IDPs. I'll be honest with you. Nick Bolton is going to be a guy I have a hard time moving on from this season.
There's a reason I've still got Devin White.
Yeah.
Right? Some guys you just love having on your rosters.
Man.
You've loved Nick Bolton from before the season started.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of your guys.
Yeah.
And LB3 on the season.
You know, and
take a bow, Nick Bolton.
Also, shout out to Willie Gay. Willie Gay was really good as well. We talked about that a little bit before we turned the mics on. But, you know, Willie Gay's games where he played, he was seeing 70 to 80% of the snaps, which is not the norm in Kansas City. Most of the time prior to Nick Bolton and Willie Gay season, it was a mix of, I can't even remember the guys' names that were there prior to some of these
Neiman.
Guys. Yeah, Ben Neiman.
Hitchens.
Yeah, Anthony Hitchens. Just a bunch of 30 and 40%. You know, players. And Nick Bolton and Willie Gay, with the setup that the Chiefs have right now, I guess maybe I'm looking too much at, like, offensively and what that team...
That team is set on defense. They're going to have some turnover on offense,
yeah.
But defense, that team is really, really good.
They're set on offense. They got Patrick Mahomes, you know?
That's true.
Here he is, the quarterback one on the season, with guys Mecole Hardman, Juju Smith-Schuster, Kadarius Toney, Sky Moore, Marquez Valdez-Scantling. I mean, they're great. They're not Tyreek Hill. Sure, he's got Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce's been really good as well. But I think a lot of Nick Bolton for me is I see the offense for the Chiefs, and I'm just like, man, I don't know that I can move away from Nick Bolton because I don't know that snap percentage is going to change.
Do you know how many single-digit weeks he had? One.
Oh, wow.
One.
Nicholas.
Week 9 against Tennessee, 5.75.
Nicholas, you dog, you.
I'm very happy with all the choices that we made, Bobbo.
Sure.
Sometimes we tend to wait to let the guests pick their players, and then we try to pick players that are different so that we can talk about some other guys.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like, I guess I'll just take this guy. I love my choice. I love your choice. If Addy was here, I would love his explanation on Josie Jewell as well.
We'd be here another hour, probably.
That's right. But this is always such a fun episode because it's a great way to look back and reflect on the season that was. And it's good to remember the guys that helped get us there.
Yep.
That helped us cap off a wonderful season of fantasy football and get us excited about 2023.
Yeah, man.
I mean, so many of these guys are going to be drafted very, very high in these best balls that we're going to be doing.
You know, and just like Adam says, the off season, it's the on season. I feel like sometimes that's where we shine. You know, the recap episodes are fun, and it's actual football that we get to talk about. But we can get in here; the three of us can gab a little bit, and we have the opportunity to chase some more rabbits in the off season.
That's true.
So if you're plugging out, you're going to miss out. I'll say that.
Very well said.
Plugging out, unplugging.
I like plugging out, though.
Plugging out.
That's maybe something different.
There you go.
That may be some Schadenfreude.
It's
right
the off season, all right.
Well, thank you all for listening. Again, make sure you're subscribed over at theidpshow.com. Playoff IDP rankings dropping next week. We will have the best ball drafts starting up very soon. Basically, once the playoffs are over, the Super Bowl is done, we will start those up, and we will give first crack at those to our supporters and our subscribers over at theidpshow.com. If you've enjoyed the show this season, the best way to thank us is to sign up over there on the site, but also leave us a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, Bubba. It really helps us out.
Absolutely. Get in there. Get you a little subscription. Get in Adam's ranks. Adam's ranks are going to be pretty filthy this offseason.
Every day, folks.
Lots of good things coming.
Every single day, Adam is working on these rankings, and they are the absolute best in the game. We have so much good stuff for the listeners and for the fine folks, the subscribers, Bobbo. I mean, 2023, Adam always talks about that. That leap. We had a third year leap and a fourth year leap. I think we might leap a double leap.
You know, when you
double leap for 2023,
when you're building a hot rod, you build it for a while. It takes a while to kind of, what tire wheel setup do I like? Is the motor running good? Where are we leaking oil? You know, take them on a couple test drives. Those were the first 3 years for us. It's time to get the old hot rod out and, you know, let her eat this season.
That's what Bowling Green's known for.
Absolutely.
Bowling Green hot rods.
Big three IDP show is going to eat.
That's right.
Jump aboard.
We have some really cool plans we cannot wait to share with you guys here coming up in the months ahead. But like Bobbo said, don't plug out.
Should we tell him? Should we tell him, Josh?
I think Adam should be here so we can get a good woo-wee from him.
Okay. Yeah, we got it on the board.
I don't know. I may have taken it off the board. I don't know. We'll see. But thank you all for listening. We will be back next week to talk about the Hunger Games. We have our IDP Hunger Games wrapping up this week. Bobbo, make sure to set your lineup for week 18. There. So we will talk about the winning team from the IDP Hunger Games. We will talk about top playoff IDP options from Adam's ranks. It'll be a really fun episode. And then, Bobbo, I'll be off to Vegas.
Oh, boy.
I'm in Vegas for Wild Card Weekend.
Oh, Lord.
One of my favorite weekends
of the
year.
Need to make sure that life insurance is paid.
It is paid up.
The will's been signed.
It's on auto pay. The will is updated. We are good to go.
Do I get packs, or where's he going?
You might be getting packs.
Oh, great.
Supposed to go to Connor, but if the Colts don't have a good offseason,
could be the end of both of y'all.
I don't know what kind of headspace he's going to be in. So, thank you all for listening. We will see you all next week. Y'all take care. Everything happens.